Amen. Well, let's start with chapter 10 at the very end first, okay? I think it's good to read. Maybe I'll read it to you. You just follow, huh? Amen.
Amen.
Verse 36, beginning in verse 36. For you have need of endurance. Praise the Lord for endurance.
Amen.
So that after you have done the will of God, it's not just endurance, but also to do the will of God and to finish it, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, won't be too long, a little while. And he who is coming will come and not tarry.
Amen.
I like this wonderful promise here. Right. Just a little while. So endure a little bit more, right? No problem. But then it tells us how to go on. Now the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those, or of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe. Amen. Do you believe?
Amen.
Amen.
Better believe. We have to be those who believe to the saving of our soul. Amen. How wonderful it is, this way of faith. No wonder in the very beginning of the time of Reformation, what is the most important thing that Martin Luther, our brother, recovered at that time?
Justification by faith.
Justification by faith. You can really see and understand how important the matter of faith is. But the definition of faith is just believing, right? Which is correct, definitely correct. It's not wrong. If I ask you, what do you mean by faith? You will tell me, of course, faith means to believe. Right, Sophia, won't you say so? And apart from believing, I think many of us Christians do not have any further understanding and definition of faith, but it was a very good beginning. Without the simple beginning, there is no reformation. Right? But this faith has to go on, has to grow. Unfortunately, it takes a long time because for some reason we get stuck. We just want to believe, and that's it. To believe in God, to believe Jesus Christ died for you, to believe that you just receive salvation by faith, and you don't have to do anything. It's a gift of God, right? Isn't that good? Don't you believe that? You like to do something? You don't have to do anything. It's free. Isn't that good? Don't you like free things? Emmanuel, yeah, I do too, right? You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to do anything. That's wonderful, right, Elizabeth? Yeah, Sarah, right? It's good. Only when you're children. The children receive everything free. Am I right? I receive everything free. Poor parents working so hard. And the children just have to receive and believe. Right? Don't you believe in your dad? Yes, of course, yeah. Right, everything is free. But this is not the best way to go on. Right? Yes, this is still the way of faith. But this faith must grow. That is why in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, it says the Lord Jesus is what? He is the author, that means the source, the very beginning of faith. But it's only the beginning, but he is also the perfecter of our faith. The author and the finisher. You need to go on to the finish line. And if you started with kindergarten, it's wonderful. I love kindergarten because it's right. I almost forgot about kindergarten, but maybe you can tell me, right? Kindergarten. What do you do in kindergarten? You play, right? You play. You enjoy, right? You sing, right? I can't even remember what I did in kindergarten. But as you go on, the first grade, you go on. In elementary school, then you go on to high school. You play every day in school. You're learning more things. You're going on. It is still education, but it is a higher education. Then you go to high school, then you go to college, and then you get your master. And hey, you even get and go on to your PhD, well, praise the Lord. Right? And right, oh, you got your master. You go, okay, you're going to stop in master, but not bad. It's not bad. But there's always more. As long as the Lord didn't come back yet, we should not stop.
Amen.
We should go on. We should endure. And as we endure and as we go on, our experience increased, became richer. And until you come to chapter 11, let's go to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. Now, this is a wonderful definition. A wonderful definition. Right. We need to appreciate this definition. Okay. You don't see this definition in Webster Dictionary or Merriam Dictionary. You don't see this definition now, because this is not what the world understands concerning the matter of faith. It says, now faith is the substantiation, not just the substance. Of course, it is. It's correct. It's not a wrong translation. It's correct. But how do you get the substance? You have to substantiate it. It's not just given to you.
Yeah.
Oh, you want bread? I give it to you. It's the substance. Yeah, you have the substance. But you have to earn it. You have to pay a little bit, right? You brought us some bread, some wonderful bread, right? A couple of days ago. And well, is it free? Is it cheap? No. Well, because it's bread, right? But you paid for it. And that place is not cheap. Definitely not cheap. Right. So you need to substantiate. If you don't substantiate, you just do nothing. Okay, I believe, and that's it. Nothing happens. No, not at this point in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. You have to desire, yes, Lord, I want the substance of what you're talking about. I want to have the reality. I want to get it. If you don't have that desire, okay, I just believe, and it doesn't matter to you whether you have it or not. You believe. Okay, we believe the right teaching in the Bible. But what happens after you believe? We heard so much for so many years. Oh, it's a good teaching. It's a perhaps not everything is correct, but, well, it's believable. So I say, I believe, and then go home. You believe? What happened after you believe? What happened? Nothing happened. Things went on as usual. Did you get what you have heard? Do you have it? Do you have a desire to get the substance? Are you substantiating it? No, it depends on you to substantiate. Do you want to have the evidence? Do you have the evidence you got it? It says here, faith is the substantiation of things hoped for. Or you're just sitting there and keep hoping, and nothing happens. Right. It's not just believing. Now, at this point in Hebrews chapter 11, the Lord needs you now to have faith, meaning to say you desire to substantiate. It needs your cooperation at this point in time. You cannot just say, I believe, and keep hoping. No. Look what happened in our history, in our past. The past is a very good evidence. History tells us a lot, right? We heard so many things concerning the Bible. Now, how much of those things and truth that you have heard is substantiated in your life? Right. Many times the Spirit wants to do something in you. You said, no, not now, Lord, not now. Well, when? Tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. It's now. It's today. In Hebrews, today, if you heard his voice, or if you hear his voice, do nothing. Just believe. What does it say? Do not harden your heart. What does it mean to harden your heart? Doesn't mean to do nothing and just hope for it. No. You believe. You say, Lord, yes, I want it. I want to cooperate with you. This is a very important principle in our human life. Right. When I was a kid, not just, you know, like your age. Yeah, maybe like your age. I want to have a bicycle. My dad promised me, okay. I promised to buy you a bicycle. Wow. Great. But depends on your grade in school. goodness. There's a promise with a condition. My dad wants me to know, if I really want it. If I really want it, well, study, work. Praise the Lord, I finally got my bicycle. I substantiated that promise. And today, especially in our growth in life, at the stage of our Christian life, the Lord is not just going to give it to you like that. He wants to, but he also desires to see our maturity, to perfect us. Right? Yes, he spoke to you. If you heard his voice, then you should react. You should act and react. Suppose God talked to Abraham and says, I'm going to give you the good land. Yes, I believe. And stayed in Chaldea. You think he's going to get the good land? He has to take the initiative to leave. If he's not willing to leave the fatherland, Chaldea, the land full of idols. And not willing to leave even his father's house. And just to follow the Lord and go and move. You know, this is very important. Our reaction, faith, is a living reaction on our part. But this faith is given to us by God. But you have to use it. Right. If you're not active, I have quite a few tools in my garage. But it's just hanging there. There's so many tools there hanging there. It's just like a decoration in my garage. And eventually it make my garage messy. Because I never used it. I hardly used it. Yeah. This wonderful faith is given to us by God, a very precious faith. I don't even know how to describe the very substance of this faith, because it is the faith of God, right? Anyway, you need to participate, to be active. If you're not active, you won't get it. No. So Hebrews chapter 4 says, if you hear the word of God, you have to mingle it with faith. Now, who's going to mingle it for you? An angel? Who's going to mingle that faith with the word that you heard? God will send Gabriel to come. And while you're reading the Bible, then the Gabriel will get a heavenly machine to mingle the word with faith. Is that a way? No, right. So faith is the substantiation. This is why we translate it not just substance, but you have to substantiate it to get that substance. But if you have no desire to substantiate, you just believe and hope and sit there and hoping, you can hope forever, okay? And you don't have it. So the word substantiate is very active. The word substance is you already got it. But to substantiate means, yeah, you need to participate to get it. To get it. Especially when we are grown up in our faith. No wonder a lot of people don't like James. You know James, the brother of Jesus. In chapter 2, right? Faith without work is wonderful. You don't need to do anything. No? He didn't say that? What did he say? It's dead. Come on, you mean to say the faith that God has given you is dead? No, but nobody believes that. Faith without work is dead. Did not Paul says it's not by works? It's the gift of God given to you. So who is right? Both are right. Both are right. Because to be saved, you cannot do anything to be saved. You cannot say, otherwise you don't need a savior anymore if you can save yourself. That salvation is the work of God given to you, not by works. By works is no one justified because we're a fallen being. But there's the other side of the coin here. Faith needs substantiation and evidence. You have faith without evidence, you will have nothing. And there are so many wonderful things the more you read the Bible, especially the more you grow in life, and you see so many wonderful things there, you need to substantiate it. You need to pay some price. The initial oil is given to you free. Just like when you buy a car, the first tank of gasoline is free. Oh my, but don't think it's going to be free forever. It's not going to be free forever, but the first tank is free. Otherwise, you won't be able to drive your car home, right? But then you need to keep on filling it. You need to keep on filling it. How? By cooperating. By paying a price. What did the Lord tell the church in Laodicea? Come and I will give you the gold. Buy? You mean to say you need to buy? Buy oil? What about the 10 foolish virgins? They say bye-bye. For them, it's not B-U-Y, it's B-Y-E. So we need to say bye-bye. B-U-Y, B-U-Y. Not B-Y-E and B-Y-E, no. You buy. You pay the price. You gain Christ. I want to gain Christ, Paul says. You pursue. Pursue. That means you work hard and harder, and you work very hard to gain more of Christ. That's why Paul says, not that I have already attained, but I pursue. He's not pursuing doctrine. He knows a lot of teaching. He knows the Bible. He learned it a lot, especially the scriptures from Gamaliel. Not a good teacher. But we are not trying to gain doctrine. We are gaining Christ in our daily living. And the Lord did say, if anybody wants to follow me, just believe. No? Sophia? No, how? Deny the self. You like to do that. Just by faith, just believe. And if you believe, you'll be following the Lord. Is that true? Just believe? No. You deny yourself. Right. You carry up your own cross, and then you follow it. And these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. You think it's easy to follow the Lamb. Right? Even your dog doesn't follow you. And we don't follow our master. He says yes, we say no. At least we say, not now. We always like to say, later. We always like to say, later to the Lord. But the Lord wants us to do it now. Because to say later means you don't like to do it. You have no desire really to do it. Yeah, okay, I will do it, but not now. Right, but we don't substantiate whatever the Lord wants us to do right now, to substantiate it now. Right. I like this wonderful word here. Now, faith is the substantiation of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise the Lord. We are seeing a lot of things that cannot be seen by other people because they don't have the eyes to see it. Right? We walk by faith, not by sight. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, right? Chapter 5, I believe, right? Yeah. By faith we see the things that people cannot see. Just like what the Lord said in John chapter 17. The world will not see. The Lord doesn't know the Lord. They won't see him, but you know him. We see him not with our physical eyes, but we see him with the eyes of our heart. By faith, we see the evidence. And there is a lot of evidence. Look, in chapter 11, you have all those wonderful brothers who went through so much by faith, and they're full of evidence. It's not just believing and nothing happened. No, beginning with Abel and all the way to the prophets, and all the way to all the martyrs. They have the evidence, but the world didn't see it, because they didn't have the eyes to see. But hey, the evidence are very solid. You tell me, Stefan, in every case there in chapter 11, do you see the evidence? Did Noah have the evidence? It's a very solid evidence. Very solid. Yes, it's a historical fact. Even the archaeologists could verify that. Right. So we need evidence. I don't want just to sit there and okay, Lord, I believe, but I have no evidence. Okay, I believe my dad's going to give me a bicycle, but I waited and sat there and believing and no bicycle. No evidence. I want evidence from God. The evidence that work in my life. I want to substantiate every word the Lord has spoken to me in the Bible. Or in a message, when the Lord touch you, what do? After the Lord touch you, he says, go home and sleep, and that's it. You don't even deal with the Lord and says, Lord, I want to experience that. I want the evidence, and I'm willing. I'm willing. Lord, I'm willing to experience, to substantiate what you have spoken, what I've read in the Bible. And to mingle it with faith. I told the saints in Germany in the first meeting to mingle. What does it mean to really mingle? Ah, you're a baker now, right? A young baker. When you're mixing the dough with the things, with eggs and sugar and cream and butter, you just stir it like this and that's it? How do you mingle it? With a machine? Yes, right? And suppose you don't have a machine, you use your hand. And just once or twice and that's it? How long? Until it is all mixed together. You don't stop. Otherwise, it will not come out right from the oven, right? Teacher. Right. Right. Your mom taught you, right? Don't do it. You need to use some strength and patience and do it until it's all mingled. Right? We have another expert baker there, Emery, right? Do you do that with the Word of God? Until you see the evidence, until you see that it's right, it's good enough here. At this point, it's ready to mix with faith. Right. To mix with faith. Yeah, the evidence of things not seen. Did Sarah just believe she's going to have a son? No, she really had one. There was evidence. Really, evidence. Every single case here mentioned in chapter 11 are saints and brothers during the Old Testament age who experience solid evidence of the work of God, the promises of God. Every one of them, every single case. It's not empty promises. Right? But these are men of faith. And their faith is living. It's not dead. It's not dead. It's very much alive. It's very much alive. And at the end of this age, the Lord is not just the author and the source, the beginning of our faith. At this point today, especially near to the time of his return, we need the evidence, we need the perfecting of this faith. Everything needs perfection. Right? Even Mercedes needs perfection. No? Right, Rebecca? Yeah. Can you imagine? Even a little dog. The more he grows, the more he learns and is being perfected. And I was told that another 6 more months, wow, he would have learned even much more and behave much better. I like to see that. So, half a year later, come back, okay? Come back. We all need to realize this. Hey, because many of the Christians, they don't believe that. They believe I'm safe, I'm okay, I'm good, all my sins forgiven, I'm going to heaven. There's no sense of being perfected spiritually. Right? Be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. Be holy as I am holy, the Father says. Be fully sanctified. Be saved to the uttermost. Isn't that perfection? In Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, especially at the end of chapter 5, beginning of chapter 6, the Lord says, be perfected. Leave the elementary principles of the Word of God. Right? You left everything. It doesn't mean that they're wrong, but hey, you have to go on. When you are going on, Paul even said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, while I was a child, I play with childish things. But when I become a man, I put away the childish toys. Or are you still playing with childish toys? No more, right? No more. Because we are going on, we are maturing in life. This is a very important principle, and faith is the same way. Right. Amen. And let's go to point C. Let's go to point C very quickly in 5 minutes. Let's finish that. We have all received equally precious faith. Peter said that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. The first time I realized this verse years ago is, we have received. It's not our faith. It is the faith of God. God has given you this faith. When you were born again, when the Holy Spirit came into your heart, he gave you this wonderful gift of faith. It is a very powerful characteristics of God, I cannot even explain to you. It belongs to God. Right? So in Genesis 1, when God spoke, it came into being. Let there be light. And there was light. Can you do that? Let the rain stop. Can you do that? Can you tell the storm to stop? Can you change the water into wine in 1 second? No, you cannot. But that's the power of God. I don't even know, hey, what is that? But it is there. And the Lord says, you have the faith of God. There's something that's called faith, not according to the dictionary, I said, but it is something of God. Let the water below and the water above, let it be separated and created the atmosphere by his word. Everything was created by his word. That's why it says here, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Hard to believe, right? But what is harder to believe? That the world is created by God, or by a big bang, boom, and all of a sudden everything, and about a million years, and oh, you have such a wonderful garden right across the street. What is easier to believe? That your great-great-grandfather is the gorilla? Or that you're created by God in the image and likeness of God? What is more reasonable? Emmanuel, if I tell you, this little big pen looks like a pen. I don't have a giant hand, okay, right? Oh, nobody created this. Nobody designed it. It took a million years for it. And out comes this wonderful microphone. You believe that? Oh, of course. Why not? It's possible. You don't believe it? Why not? You should believe it. I believe it. Now, if I tell you I believe it, what do you think Grandpa is? Grandpa is a fool. Right? Won't you say? If I believe that after 1,000 years, okay, 100 years, it just comes out like this. Well designed, wonderful, with a light here. And my goodness, beautiful design. Nobody design this. You believe that? Impossible. And you believe that human beings and a monkey begin to change himself and take out his DNA and keep on changing the DNA, and after 1 million years out came a human being. You believe that? No. What is more reasonable to believe Genesis chapter 1? And God says, let us make man in our likeness, in our image. Let me tell you, faith is a very reasonable thing. If you're not reasonable, you will not have faith. It's the faith of God, but it requires a reasonable mind. That's why it says, by faith, we understand. I like the word understand. If you're not an understanding person, you will believe all kinds of lies and all kinds of things without a clear understanding mind, a sound mind. How can you understand?
The faith given to us by God requires a sound mind. A sound mind. If you don't have a sound mind, I don't think you will believe anything that God says. You will believe any lies that people say. Oh, yeah, you know, once you die and then you will be born again as a dog, or you will become a terrible tiger, depends on how you behave now as a man. So if you are a good person and you die and then you will reincarnate, maybe as a nice bird. So don't kill that bird, it may be your grandfather. Is that reasonable? Huh? You believe that? No. But a lot of people believe it. That's not faith. I don't know what it is. It's stupidity. No. Faith requires our healthy understanding, a sound mind, a sober, renewed mind, even renewed, because transformation requires that we are renewed. Be renewed in your mind, the spirit of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That's why be not conformed to this world. Because without a healthy, sound mind, full of understanding, right, you cannot have real faith. You cannot substantiate anything with your faith. No wonder Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the God of this world, meaning Satan, has blinded the mind of those who believe it not. So if your mind is blinded, you're not sober anymore. You're not sound anymore. You cannot believe anything. That's why I don't believe there's a God. Where did you come from? From the monkeys. Oh, goodness. You should say, no wonder you look like a gorilla. You look like a gorilla? You like to look like a gorilla? But who is your great-great-great-grandfather? That's not sober. Definitely not. Right. By faith, we understand that the worlds, the universe is framed by God. Right. The word frame means it is designed. It's created, planned with a plan. God did not create a chaos. Definitely not. Would you create something that is chaotic and just let it put it in a tumbling ball inside and let it roll for a million years and then you will have such wonderful things there? You cannot believe that. So don't believe in the theory of evolution or a big bang or whatever bang, small bang, big bang. Forget about them. The Word of God says it very clearly. God created everything orderly, wonderful. You should not forget Isaiah 45. God did not create a world that is tohu bohu, chaos. No, but it's designed to be inhabited by man. So wonderful, so harmonic. Every time I look at my hand, I praise God for such a wonderful creator. With these two hands, we are so able to do so many things. You think gorilla can do it? Huh? Can gorilla draw such a beautiful picture? Cook? Nobody could do it. Not one of those things. Right? I really appreciate, really, God is my witness. How many times I told him, you are a wonderful creator. That I can see, I can smell, I can think properly, I can do a lot of things with my fingers. Right? And so coordinated. I always told him, Father God, you are a wonderful creator. So wonderful. So many things that you eat, breakfast, lunch, dinner, so many variation, so beautiful. This planet is very beautiful. I don't want to live in the moon, do you? No, but this planet is wonderful. I saw some of the pictures that you went, places that you visited. They're so beautiful. You think nobody designed that? Time is up, right? Let's continue in the second meeting. But you have to realize we need a renewed mind, a sober mind, a sound mind to mingle this faith with the Word of God. Yeah. An understanding mind. By faith, then we will understand a lot of things. Praise the Lord. Yeah. May the Lord open our eyes. Okay, let us stop here and have